Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We started recording. And guess what happened when Allah revealed Surah the Spider for the Prophet?
The people laugh.
Why did they laugh? Why do you think they had the big laugh out?
Because they were thinking like, oh, there's a surah in the Quran that is based off of a spider.
That's right.
Yeah, just like spiders, small little not animals, but insects. They're not even insects.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay, let me tell you, you're close. They had a big laugh because they said the God of Muhammad is fond of insects. Why? There's a surah called the Surah of Ant, which is Surah Ta'wat in Arabi. An-Naml, ant. There is Surah An-Nahl, bees. Okay? Surah An-Naml, Surah An-Nahl. And Allah also speaks in Surah Al-Baqarah about mosquitoes. And then Allah spoke in Surah Al-Hajj about flies. Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah talked about mosquito when they say the God of Muhammad is fond of insects. Allah revealed the surah and ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah saying Allah will give examples, will use examples from spider and even lower than the spider. So Allah told them that He can give examples of the spider and of the mosquito and even lower to the mosquito. Okay, and then Allah continued saying, "Those who have righteousness will understand the example. Those who don't have righteousness are going to mock the Prophet for it. They're just going to be mocking and say laughing. And God of Muhammad is fond of insects, so." That is, in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah speaks about flies that Allah challenges. Allah said, if you think of yourself as, you know, as like able to do everything, Allah is challenging all humans in general. Allah is challenging all of you to create a fly, just one fly. And even, Allah said after that, even if the fly will eat part of your food, you will never be able to recover it. You see? So let's go this over this. Okay. Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah. No. Allah in Surah Al-Hajj. In Surah Al-Hajj talks about the fly. And then Allah says that if all of you gather to create one fly, you will not be able to. And if the fly will eat from your food, you will not be able to recover it. The second part is a scientific miracle. Why? Because they found out that for the fly to eat, first it spits out enzymes to digest the food. And then it will eat the food. So Allah is saying, when it spits out enzymes to digest the food outside, there is no way you can bring this food back into the original status. So Allah is saying, even if the fly takes away from them food, they won't be able to recover it because it's bit enzymes on it. You got this part? So Allah is challenging, and also, you know about them, how the flies maneuvers better than even a jet. You know how the jets, war jets?
In the air.
Yeah, they. Do you know how fast they can change directions?
Mm-hmm.
Fly is even better than that. It does change directions better than that. So, if you magnify a fly to the level of an aeroplane, it would do much better in maneuvering and changing directions. So humans are not able to match that with their aeroplanes. Okay, see how miraculous. And Allah could create things as big as the aeroplanes. And if the fly is bigger, as big as the aeroplane, still this challenge is still there. You can't create fly, not to mention create, you can't create things that the fly is able to do, not to mention the fly itself. So then Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah ridiculed them. He said, Allah will give examples. Mosquito, if a mosquito and lower than mosquitoes. Smaller than mosquitoes. Okay? Why? Allah said the believers are going to benefit from this example. Basically, they are not going to stuck on the face value of this example. They are not going to be stuck on it. Okay? They are going to go deeper. They are not going to be shallow people. They are going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and understand the example. They understand, they call it morale of the example. That's what they call it.
The morality of the story?
The moral?
Yeah, the moral of the story.
Yes, the moral of the story. They benefit from the moral of the story. All right? Okay. Now, Surat Al-Ankabut, the spider, starts with Alif Lam, Mim. Starts with the three letters Alif Lam Mim. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alif Lam Mim. Can you name another surah? Starts with Alif Lam Mim. Huh? Surat Al-Baqarah, good. Huh? Can you think of another surah? Surat Luqman. Don't think Surat Luqman starts with Alif Lam. I will check on that later. But there is Surat Ali Imran. You know how many surahs of the Quran starts with these letters? Alif Lam Mim, Kaf Ha Ya Ayn and Sad Noon.
I think 29.
29 surahs start with these letters. Not Alif Lam Mim, but other than Alif Lam Mim and others as well. Yeah. Like Sad, Noon, yes, and so forth. So those, now, what is the meaning of Alif Lam Mim? Anybody knows? Oh. Alif Lam Mim, do you know the meaning of these letters? Alif Lam Mim. Okay.
It just means, yeah.
Means what?
There's no meaning.
There is no meaning. Huh? There's no meaning.
I think it means like the greatest, the merciful.
Alif Lam Mim?
Yeah.
No.
I saw that online somewhere.
No. You were right, and you're right. Nobody knows the meaning. Then, why is it there if nobody is expected to know the meaning? It is when we figure out the meaning, we will be able to, or there will be a time where we will be able to find the meaning. For example, in the Quran, in the miracles of the Quran, when Allah speaks about secrets of nature, scientifically, the people of the time of Prophet Muhammad, were they able to understand these miracles? Then, why was it in the Quran? It's not for them, it's for what?
The future.
For us, when we come and science become advanced, then we can verify the Quran using these scientific miracles, which was supposed to be the presentation today. But
can I just spoil one of them, because it was always my favorite?
Okay.
Okay, so one of the coolest scientific miracles is that in the Quran, it mentions, I don't know the exact phrase for it, but how there is essentially an underwater waterfall somewhere in one of the oceans. And I can for a fact verify that is true, that there is in fact an underwater, it's actually underneath the water, where this is the water, and the waterfall is going under there from the water, inside the ocean. I think it was the Indian Ocean? Or the Indian Ocean. Yep.
But how could a waterfall be underwater?
That's one of the miracles. Yep. I think I have a picture of it somewhere. I'll go look for it.
Do you understand that? So, these scientific miracles of secrets of nature is not intended for the people at the time of the Prophet, because they have the miracle, which is the Prophet himself. He lived with them. And when you live with the Prophet, you can easily tell he's a Prophet. Very easy. Because a liar, a vicious, wicked liar, will look something, will behave in a very different way, and will look differently. You know? Prophet Muhammad, when you look at his face, you feel peace. Okay? And not only that, but also when he talks, he was the most Everybody agreed that he was the most trusting, the most honest before Islam. For 40 years, he's living among them that way. And then suddenly flips to be the vicious, wicked liar overnight. No. He's Muhammad before Islam. He's Muhammad after Islam. Okay? But what happened is that he brought the package of La ilaha illallah. He brought La ilaha illallah. And they did not. They did not. Are you doing a homework? What's that paper? What?
It was just something that I was reading in my bag. Like,
okay. Okay. You give up on the ticket.
There you go.
Thank you. Okay. So, do you understand what I'm trying to say? What am I trying to say? That these scientific miracles were not intended for the people who are living then. Why? Because they will have no clue what Allah is talking about. But now, with the modern science, can we tell? Yes. Okay? And will be the presentation, inshallah, next time when I bring my own projector. Okay? Then they, yes, yes, yes. We can tell the difference. We can tell the scientific miracles now. So we believe, because we don't have, we can't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can believe. Okay? Now, alif lam mim. Did the companions understand it? No. Do we understand it? No. So it is intended for who? For somebody to come later on. Okay? Just like the scientific miracles. Something will happen in the future that will show that these letters are, they have a miracle somehow. It will show up. With time, people will show up. Scholars... Scholars have tried to like come up with some meanings. So scholars say, okay, we don't know what they mean. However, we can make suggestions. So they suggested one of the meanings is a challenge. When Allah says alif lam mim, Allah challenges us. Allah challenges us. Why? Because the ayah that comes first is the Quran. So, alif lam mim, and then an ayah about Quran. So, there are 29 surahs in Quran that starts with letters. Two of them, okay, all of them after Quran, after alif lam mim or noon or whatever, kaf, ha, ayin, and sad, whatever the letter, comes something, statement about Quran. You understand that? And this statement about Quran will be a form of a challenge. It's like Allah saying, I challenge you to produce the Quran. I challenge you to match the wisdom of the Quran. I challenge you to match the giving of the Quran. You understand? So you can take it as a form of a challenge. Okay? However, there are two surahs in the Quran that starts with letters, but don't have the Quran in the second ayah. So 27 surahs, they have the letters, and then in the second ayah, a statement about Quran. Except in two. One of them is Surah Al-Ankabut, the spider. It says Alif Lam Mim, and it doesn't talk about the Quran. And Surah Maryam, this says Kaf Ha Ayn Sad, and it's not followed by a statement about Quran. So, how is that applicable if we say that this is a form of challenge? These ayahs are a form of challenge, yes.
So like the spider is a miracle, and so is what happened to Maryam alayhi salam. So I guess it might be challenging, like only Allah can make these miracles happen.
Very good observation, very smart. Yes, yes, there are different kinds of a challenge. In Surah Maryam, there is the challenge of Zechariah having a child when he was old. Have you ever seen someone who's 100 years old having a child and his wife is 100 years old? So no, so that's a miracle. And the second miracle is Maryam alayhi salam having a son without a father. So it's a form of a challenge too. Now why these letters are also a form of a challenge? Because Allah is kind of saying, okay, Quran is made of alphabets like Alif, Lam, Mim, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, and Sa. And you have access to these alphabets as Prophet Muhammad have access to them. You guys have access to the alphabet and to the words and sentences, right? You have access. Some of you even know how to make more poetry than you know, Prophet Muhammad never was able to make poetry. Okay? Some there were people who were making poetry at that time. They have access to the words and letters, more access to the words and letters than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know that the Prophet did not know how to spell his name? He wouldn't be able to read his name or spell his name.
He was illiterate.
Yes, he was illiterate. Okay? And Allah, being illiterate is a shame for everybody except the Prophet Muhammad. Why? Yes?
Because he was illiterate because other people can accuse him of trying to read the Quran.
Exactly. Exactly. How could he? And then Allah did not make him say poetry. Why?
So, same reason. The same reason.
Exactly. Exactly. So now you see that these letters is a form of a challenge. Either a challenge about Quran, features in the Quran, or a challenge of the attributes of the Quran, or a challenge of making up a Quran. Now, just like Maham said, here is a form of a challenge for the spider. What is that form of a challenge in the spider, in the surah of the spider? Allah is saying the second verse is a challenge. Allah is saying right next to Alif Lam Mim, do people think that they will be left to claim righteousness and without being tested? So it's a ridiculous, it's a ridiculing question. It's like, do you think you're going to be able to fly? You know? It's like this. So Allah says, do you guys think that I will leave you saying we believe without testing you? So it's called, the test in Arab is called fitna. Fitna. And Allah says that in the ayah. Do people think that they would be left to claim righteousness without being subject to fitna? Subject to fitna. Fitna. F-I-T-N-A. Fitna is an Arabic word that means what? Test. That means test. If you go to the origin of the word fitna, keep that in your mind because it's a very famous word and in Islam and it has a very important meaning. And many of the people who don't speak Arabic know it. Fitna. This is fitna. Like when you go to the beach, for a man to go to the beach and see all these girls and women without clothes, this is called fitna. He's subject to fitna. There's a lot of fitna there. There's a lot of test, big challenge. I mean, it needs you to blind, to keep looking down so that you're not bothered by these scenes. So fitna. Fitna means a test. Fitna means a test. So Allah is saying, do people think that they will be left alone to say we believe without getting fitna, without being tested? The word fitna also means, you know, when they get the gold from the mines, when they get gold from mines, what they do, they want to separate the gold from the cheap material. Okay? They want to separate the gold from what? Cheap material. So how do they do that? They subject the gold to very, very, very high temperature. Okay? So when the gold is subject to this very high temperature, it splits. The gold splits from the cheap material. So you see now what's the linguistic meaning of the word fitna? It is to subject the gold to very, very high temperature so that the cheap material will be separated from the pure gold. And then you take the pure gold and throw away the what? Cheap material. So this is exactly what Allah is doing. Allah is testing us. Heat of fitna to show. Allah wants to show the truth about everybody. Allah wants to show that the stingy, Allah wants the stingy to demonstrate his or her stinginess. Allah wants the kind to demonstrate her kindness or her kindness. His or her kindness. Allah wanted the mean to show, to demonstrate his meanness through life actions and choices. Okay? The way you decide to do things, the way you make choices in your life, okay, will be a reflection of who you are. So Allah will show the truth about you. How? By these fitnas. You'll demonstrate, you'll go through one fitna, second fitna, third fitna, fourth fitna, fifth fitna. And Allah will show, you will show who you are. I'll give you an example of a fitna. Praying Fajr on time. If you don't have any medical reasons. Praying Fajr on time. Don't you think that this is a fitna? This is the daily fitna. Test of Islam. This is a daily test of Islam or fitna. Okay. What happened? Why did Allah make the Fajr prayer at the time which is so, so uncomfortable? Like, it's really, really at a very, it's really not a good time for somebody to get up and pray. Didn't Allah know that people will be tired and they will not be able to get up and make it? He knew. Okay, so, but he still chose that to be at that time. Yes.
I was going to say that it's like a challenge.
Exactly.
So
exactly. And a lot of people flunk this test. Okay? How about love of money when Allah is telling you pay zakah? How about fast? All these are tests, one another. Are you going to give a false testimony? I'm going to tell you that the worst deeds, among the worst deeds you can do, are false testimony in court, because people can be executed because of your testimony. People can be deprived from their wealth, because of your testimony. Okay? So, false testimony is awful. The Prophet Muhammad kept saying, beware of false testimony, beware of false testimony, in one hadith, that he kept saying it until we said, we wish he stops. He never got stuck. Beware of false testimony, beware of false testimony. Because the rights of the people depend on this testimony. So, this is a fitna. This is a fitna. Well, this is the word fitna. So you demonstrate the truth about yourself. You write your own book. By your actions and deeds, you're writing your own book. So if you're stingy, you're writing the things that you have done that makes you stingy. And you're doing it actually. Okay? For example, like a blade girl. A blade girl. Allah wants to show that she's a black girl. So, Allah...
Are you
black or... Play girl, the ones who pose. The ones who pose undressed.
Oh.
It's called play boy?
Play boy, not play girl.
Bad girls. Allah wants to show this about them. So Allah gives them a beautiful body. And to see how are they going to use it. Is it only for family life or... for outside of the family life. This is a fitna. Okay? So that is the challenge in Surah Al-Ankabut. Like Muhammad said, that's the challenge. The challenge of fitna. Now, what is the example? What is it in the example of a spider that we will be interested into learning from? What's the house of the... Allah speaks about the house of the spider, basically. What is it about the house of the spider? Huh?
It's a like really intricate web. And like I guess it's a challenge on trying to make that web, even though humans can't.
Yes, but what about the web itself that we can learn from? Yes, go ahead.
Let's make sure first.
Hmm? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Like the spider, the silk, that it makes is like really it's really
what are the negative things about the house of the spider? Huh?
The house of the spider, there's some like strands that are sticky and other ones that aren't. So if the bug gets caught in the sticky parts, it will get stuck there and the spider will eat it.
But what are the negative things about the spider web? The house of the spider?
The web is weak.
It's weak. Basically, the house of the spider, the house supposed to provide protection, right? The house of a spider provides protection? No. You can rely on the house of, you can rely on a house to give you privacy. The house of the spider, does it give you privacy?
No.
So the house of the spider, okay, is the worst house you can ever have. It's open space does not shelter you, and you can be seen, does not give you any kind of privacy. The house of the spider is a terrible house. Okay, now how about the spider itself? Do you know that there are kind of spiders that the wife, when she becomes pregnant, sort of, she eats the husband? And then when the girls, when the kids are born, they eat the mom. So Allah wants you to see, the spider is not only messed up in house and having a very weak house, very weak shelter. Okay, that's actually deceiving. It's a house, but not a house, but doesn't do what the house does. Allah is also saying that the family life of the spider, from family perspective, is messed up. Is messed up. Now Allah is using this example, okay, to Allah will use this example to describe what? Allah used the example of the spider to make a description, to make a statement. What is that statement? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the example of the spider, the house of the spider, is the examples of the one who depend on other than Allah. So Allah is saying, whatever you depend on is nothing but the house of a spider. Whatever you expect to shelter you is nothing other than Allah. Whatever you depend on other than Allah is nothing but a house of a spider depending on his house. Anything, everything that's built on other than Allah is nothing but the house of a spider. You see here? And then Allah said the weakest house is the house of a spider. It's definitely weaker than our homes and houses. And not to mention, weaker than most of the animals, homes and houses and children. So Allah saying, you depend on other than me? It's a, like you're depending on, like the spider. So we call it a foolish spider. Foolish spider. Foolish spider, the spider is foolish because it's depending on his house. It's a foolish spider. And then he's saying Allah, the people who depend on other than Allah are foolish too. It's just like the house of the spider. And guess what's going to happen? If I depend on a strong person or a powerful person, if I depend on this powerful person, okay, and this person will provide me with security and protect me because I'm dependent on him. In the day of judgment, if this is an evil person and I'm doing what this evil person is telling me, at the day of judgment, is he going to save me? Allah says in the Quran that the people, the good and bad people, will be arguing in Quran, arguing in the day of judgment, in the hellfire. The people who followed are going to say to the people who, people of power, the people we're following, that we're following, they are going to, which are the big people, are going to say what to the strong people. So the weak people, the ones who were following, are going to say to the strong people, which are the ones who were leading, are going to say to them, because of you, because of you, we are here in hellfire. So the weak people say, the strong people say, we misguided you. You were criminals on your own. You were criminals. This is who you are. We just, even if we're not there, you would still be criminals. Okay? Then the weak people say, it's because of you putting pressure on us. It's because of you threatening us. It's because of you punishing us. It's because of you. We are misguided and here in hellfire.
But you said that because of tactics. If you're forced to do something, I thought you said that you aren't sent for it, so.
It's not forced, it's just like pressure, sort of. It's just like a bad guy and you just like, you kind of pressured, sort of. You pressure yourself, basically. not you being forced, you're forcing yourself to obey whatever this master. So the followers blame the masters, and the masters blame the followers. And both of them are where? In hell. In another ayah, they were, Allah said that the followers are blaming the masters. The masters are blowing, saying to the followers, you were bad on your own. And then the masters will say again that this, we are both in hell. So get out of us. Get out of my face. We're both in hell. Get out of our faces. We're both in hell. That's it. Allah finished the judgment and we're both in hell. So just shut up. Shut up. Get out of my face. So whatever you depend on in this life, if it is that evil master, if you depend on this evil master for protection, it's like depending on, it's like that spider depending on his house. Just like nothing but the foolish spider. You do something haram that think this will protect you or help you, this is nothing but depends on the house of the spider. If you depend on anything, if you build anything, if you build civilization, if you build countries, if you build nations, if you build systems of life on other than what Allah has revealed, it is like you're acting like a foolish spider. You see here? So nothing that is established, no establishment, no culture, no way of life, no that is built on or opposite or against what Allah has revealed is going to be nothing but house of a spider. In the day of judgment, surprise, you and your masters, the followers and the masters are in hell. They blame each other, but at the end, in hell. There's another verse in the Quran. Allah says that those, the followers in the hellfire, they will go to Allah and say, Ya Allah, double the punishment. Those masters are the reason we're here. Double the punishment. Allah answers and says, you both have double. So Allah says, double on them and double on you. Double here and double there. This is the difference when somebody a believer but he's forced to do something and his heart hates that thing versus the ones who follow their masters and they want to please the master, so they do these things. You know what I'm saying? It's a different situation. So Allah says, double to you, double to them. And then they are going to cry and say, Ya Allah, both of them, the masters and the followers, are going to say, Ya Allah, please, break. Just give us a break from hell. Just give us a chance. Just to rest from the hellfire. Allah says, shut up. اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Shut up and get lost. Shut up and get lost and don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Remember what you have done in the previous life. When you obeyed your masters instead of obeying me. And you thought that your masters, that your powerful masters are going to protect me. Huh? Have it all. Have it all. You were acting like a foolish spider. Have it all. So the surah has a very powerful meaning. And then Allah says, those idols, middle gods, that you're depending on, it's just like the foolish spider depending on his house. This is what, those are nothing. In the day of judgment, those stones are nothing. They will provide no protection for you in the day of judgment. By the way, the day of judgment is there. The Prophet says that we are asleep. We'll wake up after death. That's what he said. People right now are asleep. They wake up. When they die, they wake up. So the real life is not this life that where we tie to our bodies and we're limited by our bodies. We're not able to see so many things. We are not able to feel so many things because of the limitations, physical limitations of our bodies. In the day of judgment or in the grave we're not limited by anything. So you wake up and you see things that you were not able to see before. That unknown, the angels. Whatever. So you're sort of being born to this new life, or like being, it's like getting, wake up, it's like wake up. It's like wake up in the day of judgment. I'm sorry, after death. So life goes fast. My life, for example, I'm 48. I just keep thinking, where did my life go? It was very fast. I just remember I was 10 yesterday. Really, it's so fast that you just let time goes very quickly. Don't be deceived that you're young. Don't say I'm 16, I'm 17, I'm 14, I'm 13, I'm 12. Okay, I'm still young. No, life would pass by very fast. If you don't take advantage of this life, you will regret it. Life goes very fast. Don't waste your life. Make sure you're on track. Okay? Where is your grandma? Where is she?
India.
Well, how about your great grandma?
Oh,
she's in India.
She's dead. Like, I can remember my parents. When I speak, better than India. When I speak about this people, where is my great-grandfather? He lived and he died. My Lena, which is my youngest girl, Lena, she's born 100 years after my grandfather was born. He was born 1991, she's born 2001. How fast did this time go?
Grandfather or
my grandfather was born in 1901. My daughter, Lena, is born in 2001. 100 years in between, you see, I'm trying to give you a sense of time. Prophet Muhammad, where is Prophet Muhammad? His physical existence, not his teachings. His physical existence is dying. Where is Adam? Died. How long did he live? 1,000 years. Allah said, every one of those bad masters, bad Arab lords, they think that they want to live 1,000 years. And Allah said, and even if they do live 1,000 years, this is not going to save them from the hell. 1,000 years are going to end. 50 years are going to end. Expect, it's very fast. It's coming very fast. Don't waste your life. Try to do as much as you can and make use of your life. And don't always remember the foolish spider. The foolish spider is wasting his life. He's being eaten. So when the children are eating the mother, and when the mother eats the husband, okay, this is what's going to happen in the Day of Judgment. If you are depending on other than Allah, they will eat. They will, if they can. They can chop you into pieces and eat you. This is, they just pray against you in the hell. Ya Allah, double the punishment, and Allah gives double to both. You see here the example of the spider? And then there is a challenge in the middle of the surah about, I forgot his name, what's his name? Forgot his name, but the challenge was for him. He became a Muslim. And then his mother was not a Muslim, okay? So she was trying to pressure him to be a non-Muslim, to go back to the ways of the Arab lords, the pagan worshiping and the idol worship. She was trying to pressure him. So what she said, I am going to fast and not eat any bite of food or make a drink. I'm going to go on hunger strike until you come back to your religions of your fathers and grandfathers. So he said, Mom, you do hunger strike. You eat, you drink, you don't drink. I am not going back to the pagan idol worship. That's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter what you want to do to yourself. So that's a test. Test is that you are being tested. Like if you are, I mean, this test, people like non-believers, like who become Muslims, people who are non-Muslims who become Muslims, they are tested because they lose their friends and family. And they are like born in a new world where they don't have family, they don't have friends, and they don't have many things. They don't have support. So that's a challenge. Allah in the ayat said, corrected this person. He said, don't be mean with them, your parents. Don't be lousy with your parents. Treat them with love and kindness. Unless they ask you to go back to idol worship. Then just nicely say no. But not in a mean way, say no, no. Just nicely, be kind to them, be nice to them. Just try to obey them, and if it's something that is not haram, obey them, unless they pressure you to leave your religion. So that was the second challenge, or the form of a challenge mentioned in the surah. And then the very end of the surah, the very last ayah, is really heart-touching. Allah says, those who struggle to be righteous, we will guide them to righteousness. So those who want to be righteous and struggling to be righteous, we will guide them, we will help them. As long as you're determined not to do haram and to get halal, as long as you're determined, Allah will guide you. As long as you're trying to follow the guidance, Allah will guide you. So Allah will help you. Allah will guide you. If you're struggling, Allah will help you. Allah will show you the way. Allah will take you from point A to point B. Point B, you'll be much better than point A. So basically Allah saying, you are trying to walk in my path, I'll help you, I'll guide you, I'll make it possible, I'll make it easy. Allah, about prayer, for example. You think prayer is easy? 5 times a day, you think it's easy? I mean, like in Egypt, for example, how many people pray? About 15%. 20% of the people pray, 15%. How about the remaining ones? They don't pray. They don't pray. Probably in Pakistan, the same. Like the people who pray are not so many. The masjids are full there, not because the people are many. It's because the masjids, they don't have enough masjids for everybody if it's 100%. It's not because of that. It's because they only 15% or 20% of people pray. The prayer is a good test. It's a daily test. It's a daily fitna. 5 times. A lot of people, they go to work hard for 8 hours. They wake up in early morning to go to work. And they stay working late. But when it comes to the prayer, they don't wake up early to do the prayer, but they wake up early to go to work. House of a spider, right away. Foolish spider. They work for 8 hours plus overtime, and they don't do the 5 minutes per prayer thing. It's like a total, let's say, 30 minutes a day. I mean, isn't that foolishness? Isn't that like a foolish spider? And it is to people who are determined to keep their prayers, Allah will help them. I know people that prayer to them is not difficult at all. At all. They keep the prayers and it's not difficult to them. Why? Because they determined to pray, so Allah made it easy on them. If you determine not to pray, then Allah is going to make it difficult on you. Because it is your determination. You determine which way, and Allah will make it happen. So at the very end of the surah, Allah says, those who struggle to reach, to walk in the path of righteousness, I am going to guide them and help them in this path. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.